Hello and welcome to Behind the Book, the monthly guest episode of the Creating Happy Writers podcast. Here is where I sit down with brilliant female authors and industry experts who are shaking up the publishing world. In each episode, we explore the powerful ideas and expertise within their books and then uncover the personal story of how they brought that knowledge to the page. Whether you're drafting your business book right now, polishing your manuscript, or dreaming of seeing your expertise in print, these conversations will fuel your creative fire and give you the tools to write with confidence. So join me today for the kind of honest talk about the writing life you won't find anywhere else. Hello, welcome to episode 105, which is the final guest episode of season 3. Today, I'm delighted to tell you that I have my very first returning guest on the podcast. Our original conversation is the most downloaded episode of the podcast to date. So I'm thrilled. She's here again to share her wisdom and to celebrate how brilliantly her book has done. It is, of course, my friend, client, and mentor, Sarah Dalrymple. Sarah is a speaker, educator, and thought leader on the art of selling yourself as a personal brand. Recognized for her bold, forward-thinking approach to sales, Sarah has spent over a decade helping ambitious women in creative entrepreneurship show up unapologetically. Her frameworks have empowered thousands of business owners to speak with conviction and make money without burning out. She's the author of the best-selling book, More Sales, Please, has delivered training in communities like Roundhouse, General Assembly, and Found and Flourish. Sarah is a sought-after guest on podcasts where she shares her refreshingly honest take on the power of self-promotion. During our conversation, we chat about all sorts, but these are the most important things. The first year after Sarah's book was published, including how she approached promoting her book long after publication day and why she treated launch as a year-long project rather than a one-off event. And this is absolute gold when it comes to thinking about your book long-term. We also talked about unexpected opportunities that have come off the back, especially the surprising ways the book has created new connections, speaking gigs, and business growth that Sarah herself didn't even anticipate. We also chatted about her launch process, including the importance of clear communication with your launch team. Sarah sent a step-by-step set of instructions to the team to make it as straightforward as possible, and I think there's a lot to learn from that. We talked about the importance of continuing the hype, and why Sarah believes in continually sharing and celebrating the book instead of moving straight on to the next thing, which I think we can all be guilty of. And finally, how to create spaciousness and clarity, particularly how stepping back from social media gave Sarah time to reflect on her themes, her audience, and the role of her book in her business. Sarah has sold thousands of copies of More Sales, Please, and is a finalist in this year's Business Book Awards. So I'm thrilled that you get to listen to such an inspiring conversation. She certainly knows her shizzle. So let's dive in now. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for coming back on the podcast, Sarah. I am delighted that you have rejoined me to talk about your book journey so far and how it's been going. I want to just first congratulate you on the Business Book Award finalist thing that's happened in the last few months, because that's very exciting. But also just to say what a joy it's been to see the book out in the world. So could you tell us a little bit about what the journey has been since we last spoke, which was just as it had come out, I believe. So
I think it was just before. I think just it was before. It was in that in-between bit where I'd written it and it wasn't out yet. So thank you. It's lovely to come back. And I guess last time we were talking more about what it kind of took to write, you know, what it, and so it's really nice to come back and talk about what it's given, like given back, you know, since. So that's, yeah, that feels really nice to be back. I think like the journey since we last spoke through the launch itself and the first year of the book's life has been bloody fantastic, all told. I've absolutely loved it.
Right, yeah. We'll end it there then. Thanks very much.
Great to see you, Steph. Yeah, I think I was, you know, it's such an unknown, and that's why it's so nice to talk about it and why your podcast is so important, I think, because I really remember, well, all throughout the process, definitely before writing the book, but even after writing the book, just kind of thinking, well, what happens now then? I mean, I just did not know. And first time authors, we really don't know what we don't know. And it turns out there's quite a lot we don't know. So I really love, you know, adding anything I can into the conversation around, you know, what happens before, during and after writing a book. Because even things like, you know, having a launch party, I really didn't know whether to do it. I didn't know, you know, I just didn't. In the end, I did go for it, and I'm so, so pleased I did. It was such a lovely way to mark the occasion and actually celebrate all the work that had gone into it and fill a room full of, you know, amazing people that normally just live, you know, inside screens, frankly. You know, anyone that's got an online business or a business where the vast majority of time is spent online, really, you know, if you're anything like me, really appreciates having opportunities to be in person. So that felt really lovely to do. But even that, I remember thinking, you know, should I have, you know, do I definitely, you know, it's January, my book was coming out in January. And I was like, gosh, not my most vibrant month of all, like the, you know, beginning of January after Christmas, pitch dark. And I think it even did snow that day. But yeah, like I say, I just decided in the end that why wouldn't I just have an opportunity to, you know, have an in-person thing. So that felt like a really lovely way to start the year of the year of launch, if you like. And I really was treating it like a whole year situation, at least. But, you know, I always knew that it was going to take longer than, I didn't just want to kind of launch the book and that be that. I knew I wanted it to be a journey through the whole year and beyond. But, you know, that was absolutely, well, a high point, shall we say, even though it came right at the beginning, just because it is so lovely to have that kind of energy of people in the room. But then, to be honest, it, you know, a lot has happened since my book launched. And so much of it, I want to say, I've got to be completely honest, like so much of it I didn't plan, so much of it I couldn't have planned. But what I've now know, looking back, is that one of the most amazing things about writing a book is the opportunities that it connects you to. And I think through the process of promoting it for 12 months, I've been able to really see the increase, I suppose, in opportunities, in conversations, in connections, in, you know, things that even though I may not have necessarily been able to predict the exact things that were going to happen, absolutely, they have happened as a result of sticking with talking about it, promoting it, and just bringing it forward again and again.
What kind of things have come up then? What sort of opportunities have you expected, also perhaps not expected? Because sometimes they're even more exciting when you don't know that certain things will come your way.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, especially as it wasn't necessarily an open sort of catalogue, if you like, of, it's not like anyone kind of comes to you and goes, right, you're going to launch this book, you know, this could happen or that could happen. For me, it was a real unknown. So I would really agree that some of the most unexpected things have been the best, but also the things that I did plan for that have happened have also been great. I think, you know, when I was writing the book and just around the time that it was coming out, I was so focused on, you know, I guess my primary aim was to have, you know, bring forward the conversation about, you know, how important it is to be able to sell your stuff and having sales skills in business, or even, you know, just as a creative person, whether you're on the internet or not. I've always really believed it's such an important life skill, especially for women, for everyone, but especially for women. Mm-hmm. And that was really my primary focus throughout everything, was to make sure I was bringing that conversation forward as much as I could. So I almost didn't have capacity or wasn't thinking outside of making sure that happened. So things that have happened off the back, you know, ranging from, well, there's just so many things. Let's just start with a few. So I would say my focus of getting that conversation out there really paid off. So, you know, I don't think a single week has not gone past. And most days I'll get messages from people who've read the book or who are reading the book, and who, you know, people who I don't know or haven't, you know, had prior chats with or haven't met previously. And it is just the loveliest thing
ever. And I didn't expect that to happen. I didn't know that was going to happen. I really, you know, I love it. I love being able to interact with people who are genuinely getting what I wanted them to get from the book. It's such a lovely feedback, you know, boost to get. You know, you don't always get that, especially not with the kind of content that you send out into the world, whether it's, you know, emails or social media content. You might sometimes get some feedback, but certainly the book has been by far and away the thing that has garnered the most, I guess, DMs or conversations, or just, you know, people wanting to share how they've found it. And that is just the best, because it's definitely the thing that, you know, I poured the most into. So it's lovely to have ongoing conversations with people and to get that validation that is, you know, a thing of value and that people are enjoying. So I would say, like, that conversation piece, just on that level, even if nothing ever happens outside of getting those DMs, I really love that, because it really makes me feel good to know that, you know, it was a book. It is a book of quality that people are enjoying. But also it's, you know, it's all the way through the spectrum. So if I think about it from a business perspective, so much of the work we do is about warming up our audiences or helping them to feel like if they do want to invest with us, that it's the right decision for them. And that can take a certain amount of time. Since the book's been out, that amount of time has been an absolute fraction of what it was before. So now there would be people who I, like I say, didn't necessarily know before, haven't necessarily encountered before. I've never seen them like a single post of mine or reply to any email. But when I, you know, put out something, they will buy it just seemingly out of the blue. And that's because they've, I guess, been able to, through the experience of reading the book, they've got to know what I'm about and what I stand for and the things I believe in. And it's given them the trust and confidence that they need to know that when they see an offer that's right for them, they're happy to go ahead and buy it. So I didn't expect that to happen, but certainly the buyer cycle, if you want to call it that, in, you know, it's quite mercenary terminology, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That has absolutely become so much more rapid than it was before. And also it just feels really nice to know that people are connecting with the book, whether or not they buy, you know, anything else of mine or not. The fact that I know there's something out there that isn't online, like it's a tangible resource and it's something that, you know, is the first physical product I've ever had, for sure. So lovely to have something to touch and to know that, you know, if people don't want to be online and they're not, you know, gobbling up online content, there is, you know, they can revert back to the book and enjoy the book and put notes in the margin and highlight things. That feels really great. But also it's things like the opportunity, you know, if we're talking about what opportunities have come, it's things like people have read the book, loved the book, and then have been putting on events or have been putting me forward to speak at events or have really been advocating me in places that I never necessarily would have, or not never, but hadn't necessarily kind of caught up to getting ready to do on my own yet. So I think as business owners, especially, like, we are so busy in the day to day of, you know, promoting and delivering the work that we're doing. We can't always, you know, think beyond the next 6 months or the next 12 months. So it's actually really lovely to have people go, oh, you know, Sarah would be really good at this, or you've got to get Sarah onto this podcast, or she's got to speak at this event, without me having to go through steps 1, 2, and 3. Doors have just been opened and things have been able to happen much faster. So that's been fun as well.
Yeah, I love that. And the fact that it's been shortening those initial conversations, almost like that time for people to know, like, and trust you. I think the book does so much, or a book does so much of the legwork, because you, if you write it well, you can connect with the reader so much more deeply than those kind of snippets of social media where people probably have to consume quite a lot of maybe videos you've done or even podcast episodes, whereas a book condenses it all down and gives them a chance to really know who you are, what you're about, but then also dip into your methodology and kind of what you know is going to help them move forward with that specific problem. So I think that's such an interesting thing that you've noticed around when you're putting offers out there, people are already warmed up and ready to kind of perhaps invest in something different or something maybe slightly more or closer proximity to you than a book. When I think back to your launch, I remember you sent through like a launch letter
is probably the way I would describe it. And it was like, this is, you are my street team, you know, and I felt very fortunate to be part of that, because I love what you're about and I love what you do and I love the book. So that for me, it was a very natural team to want to be part of. But it was seemed very, very well thought out. And I've worked with a variety of different authors, and I don't think I've ever had something that was so well thought out in terms of, you're my street team, I need you on side on launch day, let's get it to bestseller status, this is what I need you to do. And it was really, really clear. So when it came to that day, I was absolutely ready to do what I needed to do to help you get to where you needed to get to. How much of that was you thinking, right, if this were me getting the book, what would be helpful? And how much of it was kind of your, just everything you've learned, I suppose, in doing what you do?
I think the vast majority of it, while, you know, one of my main things is about keeping things easy, right? We all like an easy life. We're all busy. We've all got other stuff going on. And I just knew that launch moment probably meant a lot more to me than to, you know, with the best intentions in the world, you know, the lovely community that I've got, which is so appreciated and fantastic. I can't expect anyone else to give, you know, to give the same amount of energy to that as I would. So I just, and also I'd had a few previous experiences with, I didn't know what a street team was. It's not terminology that I was aware of, but I'd heard people that I know who'd launched books before and had sort of said, oh, you're in my, I'd received emails about being in a street team. And I remember just thinking, what is this? I don't know what this means. And I just wanted to make sure that anybody that I was asking to be a part of it knew exactly what ideally I would like to happen, because then it just makes it easier. It's not a case of like, you've got to do this or else, but it's just more a case of, I know that I'm doing this for the first time and I'm not expecting anybody else to know the half of what I've kind of gathered along the way. So I just thought it'd be more useful to have like a step-by-step breakdown of what days to do what on, because, you know, we don't know things like when something lands on Amazon on launch day. There is a finite window of time where, you know, if you're playing that game, where, you know, you can really send a boost out into that platform and that can help with rankings. Nobody's going to know that. So it just is helpful to have that written down. And actually, it's been really nice because since then, you know, for clients of mine that have launched books have been able to use that as their template for their launches. So it continues to be helpful even outside of my one, you know, week in January where I was really trying to like galvanize a bit of momentum for it in bleak midwinter.
It did well though, I think, in terms of, I think it did what you needed it to do for launch week, because we get, as authors, we can get super or hyper focused on launch day, on publication day, on launch week. And to know that, like you said, to make it easy for people. I mean, that is obviously what you're all about. You're all about ease and making it straightforward and simple for people. And I think when I got it, I just thought to myself, this is such, I've kept it because I thought it's such a good example of how you can take somebody, like you said, who possibly has never done this kind of thing before, but they want to be part of the team. They want to be helping you, to give them something that was so straightforward and be like, you know, this, if you can do this on this day, and then a couple of days later, if you can do it, was just like, oh, absolutely. Then that, I don't have to think about it as much as I was thinking.
You don't have to spend any time. Yes. That's the thing. It's like, if you're going to give me 10 minutes of your time to, yes, you know, do this action, I don't want you to spend eight of those minutes thinking, what am I supposed to be doing again? So it's just much easier if I can go, here's what I'd love it if you could do. If you could do any of it or all of it, that'd be great. No worries if not. But if you have got 10 minutes, it could be great if you could do this. So yeah, I would recommend that to anyone, to be honest, just because, like with anything, people want to help. I always want to help. When people say, oh, could you do this, could you do that, I always want to do it. But it, whether or not it happens is usually hinged on how much, you know, do I actually understand what I'm supposed to be doing and how easy is it for me to execute?
Yeah, I agree. And I think you hit the nail on the head around how busy people are. And even with the best intentions, we can forget things or not. And then, like you said, it's almost like analysis paralysis, where you're like, I know I need to do something to help this person with their book launch. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah. I actually remember like Lucy Werner a couple of years before, really, you know, her launch was, I remember her kind of reflecting that she'd kind of asked people to promote, you know, to, if they had copies of the book, to kind of mention it on their socials or whatever. But what she ended up realizing was that it's much more useful if those people could get on stories and actually talk about the book rather than just kind of sharing a copy and saying, oh, this is out today, a bit of chat around, you know, what the book's about and a bit of face to camera actually could work so much better. But people don't know that unless you say, I really would like you to, if you can, talk rather than just posting that it's out today, because it helps, you know, it just helps really distill that message down. But, you know, we're all just learning as we go with this stuff. And I just really think, you know, it's with it, at that, by the time I launched the book, I'd already kind of experienced this with, you know, when you're requesting endorsements prior to or things like that. Again, it's like, I'd love to write you an endorsement, but I don't actually, what exactly is it that you, you know, do you want me to, what are the key themes? So I think it's useful to send out themes as well of the book and say, look, here's really what I'm trying to do here. The book is, you know, really focused on these areas. If you can say anything about that, that'll be perfect. Again, like just to give people a bit more of a steer in case they need it.
The other thing I noticed that you did that I thought worked really well was around the reviews, asking people to write reviews. And what I thought, well, for me, that I was almost then invested in the journey of, you said, you kept saying, I want to get, was it 100 reviews you were trying to get to?
Yeah, I think I was starting by, I started by trying to get to 50. That's what right. I really, and then once I got to 50, I was like, oh, I wonder if I can get to 100. So then I changed it.
But then posting about that and inviting us on that journey with you, inviting the audience on the journey of, would you get to 100 reviews? And then explaining why getting as many reviews as possible is helpful to the author. All those things that, I guess from my perspective, I assume people understand. And that's my error, I suppose, when I think about talking about my books or talking to other people about their books, is actually feeling like, well, obviously people would know that you'd want a review, but it's not that as much as it is. Actually, this can be really part of the strategy of getting the book, you know, to reach more people on Amazon, to play the game on Amazon a little bit around their algorithm and how they, the more books that have good reviews, the more they're going to push them wider, the more, you know, all that kind of thing adds to the whole experience rather than, like I said, just limiting it to launch day, launch week. Actually, that ongoing conversation of the first 6 months of a book's life, where you might feel like you're having to keep talking about reviews or keep talking about buying it, but it, you have to do that because otherwise people will just forget it exists. So what have you done, I suppose, in terms of that longevity piece around promoting the book and keeping it top of mind for people?
Well, I'm so lucky in that I do get these regular messages from people, which I think is always nice to turn around and then show. So I tend to use those as an opportunity to, you know, when they come in, I think, well, why am I going to keep this to myself? I'm going to share it. I'm going to talk about it. And then I'm going to use that as a start to kind of bring the conversation back around to what we're really trying to do here. So that's one thing. It isn't complex what I've been doing. It's really just a case of, I really remember for the first, I don't know whether it was for the first 6 months or the first few months, let's say, I just really made a point of on Sunday nights, just being like, let me just put a story up reminding people that this book is available. If that's for their week ahead, if they're looking for something simple that they can digest, let's put the book up. Let's remember that this is, you know, that would always be my starting point for the, you know, at least 6 months. It was like on a Sunday night, you like clockwork, you can expect me to be posting about all my stories about this book. And sometimes that would be a written review that had come in, or I'd be celebrating that I was nearly at my 50, or that I'd got, you know, over the 50 reviews. Or it wasn't always like, the book is here for you if you want to promote your business or your book or your brand in 30 minutes a day. It was just, this book is here, just a straight up visibility kind of reminder. But then other times, it would be I'm sharing a personal win that's come off the back. So, for example, somebody might have ordered like a bulk order of the books to put in their subscription boxes, which I felt was really exciting because that was another example of something that I could just never have. I didn't have it necessarily on my bingo card but I loved. I was like, this is so brilliant. And then somebody else put more sales, please, on the recommended reading list for a course that they were facilitating. And I thought that was really cool. Or so I'd always, you know, I love to celebrate me. I love to chat, you know, just champion the little milestones along the way. And part of that is because, you know, I definitely didn't necessarily have like a long-term goal milestone situation that I was aiming for. So it kind of was always about the journey itself. But the other part was just about like, oh, this is so fun. Look, I really remember really getting the fear, if I'm honest, after, I think it was after I'd written the book, but before it came out, I just really remember thinking,
I've got absolutely no idea what's going to happen now. And imagine like a book on sales and marketing, imagine it not selling, or imagine it just not. I just remember thinking, I've really set myself up here. And also, like, I really hear, you know, the narrative I, for whatever reason, had seen, whether I, you know, inadvertently manifested it or what, but the narrative I had seen was very like, oh, there's no money in books, or oh, it's so hard writing a book, or oh, it's just relentless grind trying to promote this book. I did not see anyone going, look at this amazing thing that happened. This is so fun. My book's just been, I don't know, like I've just made it to 50 reviews, or someone's just told me that they've made 10 sales off the back of chapter 4 or whatever. Like, this is all stuff that I really love. So of course I'm going to talk about it. And I think, you know, another thing that's been fed back to me is that it's so nice to see positive stories from beyond the launch, if you know what I mean. So I really think we need to do more of it. That's what I think. I think we get to have these success moments at any point. It's not like, oh, well, you've launched your book and it's 3 months old now, or it's 6 months old now, or it's 2 years old now, so too late. The beauty of a book is that it's always a good day to like have a little celebratory moment that you wrote it, or that it's doing what it's supposed to be doing, or something. You know, there's always something that you can reflect back on in positivity.
Yeah. I wonder sometimes though, because when we're business owners, we can be guilty of, and I don't mean to use that word in a negative way, but we can sometimes think about the next thing. So we've written the book, we've spoken about the book for a bit, and then we're like, right, okay, what's our next offer? What's the next launch? What's the next thing I want to be doing? What's my next mastermind, my next group program? Like, I think that can be the danger, is that the book is for, if we don't think about it strategically, you might think this is a very low ticket thing. This is something that, so actually I need to be promoting more of my one-to-one, my high ticket offers, or I need to be doing something that I suppose initially looks like you're going to get more income off selling some one-to-one stuff, which of course, yes, you are in the kind of short term. But actually, like you were saying, the book, if we are able to promote it regularly, the book will do a lot of that legwork around bringing people into the audience, bringing the right people into our audience, who then will want to perhaps invest in those things further down the line. But if we write the book, promote it for a couple of months, then forget to promote it or don't talk about it, then because we think, oh, we need to focus more on what's there that's going to give us the biggest income in the short term, we are kind of leaving money, I suppose, on the table, whatever that phrase might be, in the book, because we're not then talking about it and bringing more and more people into other offers that we have available.
Yeah, I really don't think of it as an either or situation. I do not think of it as like, if I'm promoting my book, then I'm taking time away from promoting my offers or my signature stuff or whatever it is that pays the bills, in a way that, you know, in a more binary way, I guess, than maybe what you can say about book sales, because you don't have instant visibility always over, you know, what's happening with that. But for me, it's like everything I'm selling has a place in my, I don't know if you want to call it ecosystem, but yeah. You know, for me, it's more about like, I love the fact that for every time I'm promoting whatever group program, mastermind, one-to-one, whatever, anything at any other sort of price point, I'm always able to say, and don't forget that we have this book here for a little over a tenner. Like, there, so it's not, I really believe that everybody gets to have what's right for them at whatever time. And we're not in control, or neither should we be in control of who comes into what, when, or how. What we are in control of is, you know, making it easy for people to know what's available. And the book is always available. There's loads of stuff in my world that is not available always. There's nothing in my world that has found its way into thousands of people's hands the way the book has. So I just feel like it's always going to be part of the conversation. It's not like, oh, one or the other. And I also really think, when you said something about the way that we're promoting, you said something about, oh, if you've written it, you know, if you've written it strategically or whatever with your business in mind. For me, like, so much of the book writing experience or book launching experience, if you want to call it that, has been about kind of really recognizing that actually a lot of the content that we put out is very scattered in approach. It's very like, oh, 1 minute we're here on this platform, and then we're emails, and now it's like all back to social media. That actually is quite a big ask. So of course it's fantastic to be able to put content out in all these different places in accordance with where our audience are at and what we want to be doing. But I think as the platforms themselves have changed and evolved and grown and become
you know, way more complex, and there has, you know, there are more platforms now than there ever were anyway. Something that we're kind of overly reliant on is the fact that our clients are always going to be keeping up with all of our content, or that they're going to have seen it. And of course, we know that that's not really true. So actually with a book, you're able to really consolidate so much of what maybe you've been saying all along. It's not always a brand new message that you're putting in a book. It might be the thing you've been talking about for 5 years, 10 years. But the beauty of it, and the reason to keep bringing things back round to the book, is that actually here is a place where it isn't a case of, oh, you've got to go and dig out that old blog post that I wrote in 2019 and pair it with that reel that I popped up last week and then remind yourself that I actually have all these emails living over here. It's like, here's all the stuff that I want you to kind of have, you know, as a consolidated piece of work that lives in this book. So if you really can't be bothered actually to keep cavorting about or in all these online places, come back to the book, remind yourself of like what really is this is all about. And then, you know, you kind of, it just is a much simpler way of digesting content all of a sudden. And I'm not trying to say that, you know, I mean, I know that books have been around for thousands of years, but I think for like the, you know, the last 10 of those years, we have become kind of distracted with like, oh, I've got to be on this place online, or oh, I've got to be creating content here. And actually, if you're going to go through the process of writing a book, definitely keep talking about it, because it gives your clients, audience, potential readers, it gives them an out. If they don't want to be online as much as they maybe have been, or if they just would rather have it all in one place, so they don't have to have saved folders here and, you know, bits to read again later there, it's all in one place. So, you know, if I think about the user experience, of course I'm going to keep talking about the book, because if I'm not talking about it, you might not know that you don't have to keep darting them back through all my Instagram posts or emails. You can just get 10 chapters here in this book and go over and over that, and you're not going to, you know, you're not going to miss anything really there, because it's all there.
Absolutely. We did talk about this recently, haven't we? We've been chatting about, I think it's a good segue into that conversation, is around this idea of that perhaps we are now a little bit jaded, tired, exhausted maybe, of the grind, the social media grind and the content consumption. And I now can recognize in myself if I feel like I'm scrolling and, you know, just there's just so much noise. And I suppose why I've always loved books personally from a reader's perspective is that I can sit with a book in the garden, you know, have a cup of tea, and just sit for half an hour and just immerse myself in something that isn't 20-second videos, you know, trying to hook me in every... I just feel that perhaps, and we have spoken about this, that we are perhaps the age we are, that we have been so consumed so much recently online, that I think now that we're all actively wanting a breather and or a balance, at least, if nothing else.
Yeah, a blend and a bit like what I was saying about the launch party,
yeah,
or in-person things. You know, we've spent since the pandemic anyway, largely too much, like we've been online a bit more than we might have liked, at least for a couple of those years, and then habitually probably for a couple more. And I think now like the pendulum is swinging, not just because of the pandemic, but just as a result of the screen time and the habits that are formed and what we know about, you know, these platforms and actually how they've changed and the people in charge of these platforms and what we may or may not massively vibe with or vibe with at all. Like we are much more conscious and aware of the limitations and the actual damage sometimes that these platforms can do. Now, don't get me wrong, as a small business owner, I absolutely believe that promoting yourself online is still a fantastic thing to do. Do I think that you should be spending all day on there? No. Did I ever think that? Absolutely not. I think it's more important than ever that we are clipping our time that we are spending online to 30 minutes or less, frankly, a day. I don't think it's a good use of a business owner's time to be falling into those rhythms of, like you say, scrolling 20 minute this, now it's that, everything's shouty, everything's noisy. I don't think that's doing anything good to the way we think and the way we form ideas and the way we present our ideas. I don't think that ends anywhere particularly great. And like you say, sitting with a book and no other distractions in an environment that feels pleasing to you rather than the environment that you've been put in, you know, which all of a sudden is very entertainment and videos and loud and effects, that might not be for everyone. So being able to opt out of that and really take yourself out of over consuming and into restoring your ability to actually form opinions and think and, you know, actually reground into what your reflections are on a topic really puts you in good stead to further your business, further your, yeah, the path that you're wanting to build for yourself. Because I think that's another thing that we really get, well, that gets lost actually, that just gets completely lost. As business owners writing books, we are not just reducing our book to be the thing, you know, yes, it is a great place to put your body of work. Yes, it is a great place to put your method or your framework or, you know, something that you want to say, but it's also a really great place to showcase that you are more than somebody who knows how to sell stuff or somebody who knows how to write books or somebody who knows how to, I don't know, navigate grief or whatever the topic is that you're talking about. We also are thinkers. We also are people who have opinions and reflections and observations. And the time and space that we give to social media overconsumption is time that we are then taking away from forming the opinions that really help other people to connect with us as humans. But if we think about AI and all the different things that are kind of coming in now, if you, all you're doing is promoting your business or talking about your business in a way that is sharing, you know, the skills that you have or the kind of the productivity that you can affect for people, and you're not also talking about your ideas and your thinking and the, you know, observations that you have, you're really, you know, we don't buy with logic. We know this. We buy with our feelings. And in order to have feelings about stuff, we got to see some human. We got to see some humans. And in order to do that, we got to hear your thoughts, because that helps us form our thoughts. And then it helps us to, you know, feel connected. So there's just a million different reasons why it's great to write a book. It's great to be able to give people the gift of a book that they can sit in the garden and read if they're completely done with social media for a while. And it's a really great place for people to then, you know, revisit that book and not just have, oh, well, where was that post? What did I do? I saw this really great post and I can't remember who posted it. And did I save it or did I not? I don't know. And then you're back on your phone again.
Have you, because I've noticed in the last few months that you yourself have been a little bit quieter on social. And I wonder, what have you found has been or have been the benefits of doing that and giving yourself a bit of time and space away from feeling like, even though you're somebody who advocates that, you know, you can talk about what you do 30 minutes a day, you don't need to be on there a long time, but even paring back on that and just thinking, do you know what, I'm just going to step back for a bit. How has that helped you? How has it given you time to think about different things and where your business is going? Or has it just been a time for you just to not even think about anything like that?
I think it's a few things. It's I'm forcing myself to, let me just, it's really easy to keep doing the same thing over and over again. And I found my ease with promoting my stuff online. I don't have a problem doing it. It doesn't take me long. It definitely doesn't take me more than 30 minutes. It's not difficult for me to think up, you know, to think on what my clients need from me, to create something for them and to have it out the door or have it available. I have been doing that since 2018, 2019, pretty relentlessly. And I think the easy thing to do would be to keep doing that. And I have been doing that and I will continue to do that. But what I have made a concerted effort to do this year, and that for sure has been facilitated by the book, because as I said before, the book is doing a really good job of warming my audience up in a way that social media was doing before. I'm not saying it's either or, it isn't. I could continue to be doing both of those things and that'd be happy days. And I really wanted to, you know, I'm really questioning where the role that I want social media to have. I'm not saying I don't want to be on there. I absolutely want to be on there, but I don't know that I want to be giving it as much in my business as it has had, or, you know, so far up till this point. So it's been a 6 months of purposeful, stepping back a little bit, or at least stepping back from more, you know, creating more offers, putting them on social media. I have needed to, I have wanted to and needed to and been craving if I'm going to continue doing it, I want to be doing it with my eyes open. And I think, you know, I also feel like maybe other people can relate with this, but every 5 years or so, I get sort of to a moment where I'm like, is this still the perfect blend of what I want to be doing? What, you know, things are always in motion, things are always evolving. What am I sort of stepping away from? What am I doubling down on? And I just don't believe that those decisions can be made in the sort of crevices of time while you are kind of busy doing your daily do. So it has been, it has been really uncomfortable for me to step away from something that I naturally has just naturally habitually been a part of what I, you know, how I show up for my business, my clients. And I have really needed it in order to see what I can now see. So, you know, coming back into it now, as I will do, I am still on social media and I'm not changing. Nothing dramatic is happening there, but it will absolutely be a case of 30 minutes and no more, rather than, it doesn't have to take you longer than 30 minutes, you know, almost a bit lackadaisical. Now it's like, the absolute most of time I will ever be spending or giving social media of a day will be 30 minutes. One of my children is in secondary school now. That has really forced me to kind of double down on my opinions. I can't be telling him, no, you can't have social media and you're not allowed anywhere near it. It's bad for you. While I'm like, you know, it's very inauthentic. I'm just a very, you know, I can't be doing one thing over here and then something else over here. So I think it's just been, for me, the right time to kind of really check in with whether I, you know, whether I'm using it in the way that I want to. And then I can now happily say I am.
That's good. That is good. And I think those breaks to really, like you said, sometimes you have to force yourself to take them to just be able to have that headspace, the breathing space to think about what is it? Okay, this next iteration of life or business, what I want that to look like, and be intentional about it, because it's so easy, I think, particularly with things like social media, to just get swept along in what you should, quote, be doing. And actually we forget that if we can find a balance, find something that we feel helps our business, but also then doesn't dictate to us as much as perhaps social media can do, where we feel that we have to be on it, we have to be posting all the time. And actually, if you can find something that still gives you a sense of enjoyment of using it as a platform or as whichever platform you're on, but doesn't then become something you feel constrained by, I think that's where the sweet spot is for me anyway, to think
totally
about.
Totally. And, you know, I've never not enjoyed, I really enjoy social media. I think it is a fantastic, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. I really love that we live in a time where, if you think about it, even like, I don't know, like 30 years ago or something, let's say you just were a person who wanted to write a book. In order for that to happen, you would have had to kind of go and knock on some doors in some publishing houses, I guess, convince them that you had this like amazing idea, then that you'd have to go through all their hoops and jump through all of that to be published traditionally. Then, you know, it would all be on their terms. They basically would have had all the power. And I'm just talking about writing books here, but, you know, let alone actually having businesses. But now, you, if you decide that you want to write a book, you can pretty much have that thing, you know, you can work with someone like you or another book coach, and you can have that thing down, structured really well, be confident that it's the right book for your business, for your thing. And you can have it out the door in months with, you know, on your terms. So in that sense, the shift from other places like publishing houses or even social media platforms having all the control, we actually get to choose like how we like do that. If you want to write a book, write the book, and you need to promote, you know, you need to know that then the promotion is on you too. So then I guess what I'm trying to say here is that we have to feel confident in our choices. Like and my choice with social media, I just wanted a minute to check in with. It's not because I wasn't enjoying it. It was just a little moment where I was like, a lot has changed in the last 6 years, a lot. Am I still using it in the right way for me for the next 6 years, or am I in an old habit? And that's all it was. And long story short, you know, not much is going to change. I think I'm pretty happy again. But I really don't buy into this narrative that you've got to be there. Like, if you take a week off, like your algorithm will punish you forever, or, I mean, whatever. I've always, like, we're not trying to be influencers, thank God. Like, if you're here as a business owner or as an author or a personal brand, the great news is that you don't have to play any of those games. You can promote your business in a myriad different ways. Some of them might be online, but they don't have to be. any which platform you fancy, and you can step off that train for as long as you need or want or just fancy, and then you can come back on. Guess what hasn't happened in the 6 months that haven't really been as active on social media? My business hasn't fallen over. Nothing terrible has happened. I don't want to burn the whole thing down. I've actually just rebranded my website. I've really got loads of clarity. I've been serving my clients as I always do. I've been feeling really like comfortable in all of it. So nothing bad has happened. And I think that's another thing that we need reminding of. It's like we get to choose. And that also extends to our promotion.
As people will find that quite reassuring to hear, I think, because like I said, we have been told or we have been part of something that has felt like it's an absolute necessity to be on very, very regularly. But I think that power of choice thing and deciding how you want it to work for you is liberating and probably terrifying some people who are listening in equal measure. But I think it's only through trying things out, seeing what works for us as individuals and not always being pulled in by what everybody else is saying you have to do, should do, and then finding that place where you're still getting, you know, your business is still working and you're feeling like you're not tied to the kind of daily grind of social. You said earlier, and I just want to kind of sort of touch on it a little bit, around this idea of themes and picking out kind of the themes of potentially what your book was about, but also just themes in general about your business. Do you feel like the space you created in the last 6 months of being a little bit quieter on social allowed you to consolidate what you kind of want to talk about moving forward? And did the book have anything to do with that? Did you sort of, because I've had clients before who said to me when they finished the book, it really helped them to solidify what it is they actually, their business is really about, what they really think about things because they've had to write them down. Do you feel like that was part of it? And have you thought any more about if your themes are the same or they've shifted, anything like that?
I think this is a really important point, because when I was writing the book, I wasn't writing the book thinking, what are my themes? What are my themes? What are my themes? I wish I had been thinking that. That would have been absolutely amazing. So if anyone's listening to this thinking, or in the process of writing a book or thinking about it, I really believe that especially nonfiction books, they need context. They absolutely need you to provide the backdrop for this book. It is so much easier for everybody involved, including you, if you have a solid handle on the context behind which you are writing this book. So somewhere along the line, and I wish I could remember exactly where, but I'm going to say towards the end of writing the book, as I was starting to think about how I was going to market it, I really got my themes down, and it wasn't necessarily as, you know, ideally I would have done it earlier, but we didn't know what we didn't know. So we're doing it now. The themes themselves were much more around, I would say then, which was when I was writing this thing, 2023, right? So I was really at that point tapped in on the small business economy, creatives making money on their terms, especially like women, like actually take, you know, we all know like women don't, we don't find it that easy to promote what we're doing for all these different reasons. So these, I guess, all tapped into, these all formed themes. I have at certain times been more all in on, let's say, one of those themes than all three. So it's not like they're always the same backdrop, but I have found it infinitely easier to always come back to at least one of those themes when promoting the book and in my business.
Just thinking about whether the space that you've had in the last few months off social, because, you know, earlier on you said about that we can, our own thoughts can be influenced by what we're consuming. And has that meant that the themes that the book brought up or you spoke about in the book, have they shifted? And has this space away from consuming other people's opinions and thoughts about things allowed you to expand the themes a bit, or have they felt even more refined?
More about recommitting. I think just one thing I want to say here is actually that I don't really consume social media. I just want to be completely open about that. When I'm talking about spending 30 minutes on social media, I'm talking about promoting my stuff and then getting off. Sometimes I'm thinking, oh, let me just check in with my client or XYZ thing that they were going to do. Let me just go and see about that. But I'm never really putting myself in a scenario where, well, my priority is always let me do my promoting, and then if I want to then have a little browse around, maybe I will. But actually getting involved in like over consuming other people's stuff, it's not my thing. It's never been my thing. I know it's a thing because lots of my clients have it, and I think if I'm reflecting back completely honestly, for the last couple of years at least, I haven't really had the time, I haven't had the minerals to be thinking about, oh, let me just go down a little scroll hole. It's been like a very vibrant, it's been a very, writing the book, it was like, I'm writing this book alongside my business. I've got stuff to do. You know, my kids are very, you know, they you know what it's like, family life. And, you know, so for me, like, if I've got time, it's always going to go on promoting or getting my, you know, bits of the work done. So actually, it just isn't, it isn't something that I worry too much about. But the reason why I'm saying this is because when I stopped posting as much on social media, and this is where I've really extended that it wasn't necessarily supposed to be a 6 month break, but I really noticed that I still had the habit of picking up my phone as if to post. But then because I wasn't posting, what I was replacing, that activity was being replaced by consuming, which really wasn't a great thing to be doing, because for the first time actually in my life, I was experiencing what my clients have been telling me happens to them all the time, which is like, oh gosh, this is a crowded, noisy space. And oh my goodness, everyone's saying like, do this, do that, do the other. And it really wasn't great for me. I really did not enjoy having visibility over what I imagine, you know, the vast majority of people that are on social media, you know, are experiencing. And I suddenly was like, do I even want to be here? So, because I don't really need to be adding to this noise, this is extremely noisy. And that's before we get into like all the global political events and wars and other stuff that now, you know, of course is super important. When I gave myself space, I suddenly was like, why would I want to spend my space here? This isn't giving me like thinking time. This is giving me like very dark, just, you know, other things to be thinking about, which, you know, so I think it all comes back to being intentional about how you're using it. I'm not saying like shut your eyes from the world's horrors or don't, you know, don't inform yourself, but I am saying like as business owners, if we're using social media as business owners, the priority has to be getting our non-negotiables done in order to keep the business moving forward. That doesn't have to happen on social media, but if it is happening on social media, let's do that bit first. And then we'll see what's happening afterwards. So actually, it was a bit of a weird experiment, is all I'm trying to say. I wasn't necessarily, you know, expecting to still be picking up my phone and looking. And that was a realization that I needed to deal with. So I was like, this is not okay. But then back to like the themes. So only once I sort of stopped doing that and actually did give myself real space away, I think like as I'm, you know, not... I guess like just constant evolution of business. Nothing significant is changing. My themes are not really changing, but I think it's just more like, as with all businesses, we have to remember, okay, we don't have to keep everything the same as it was 5 years ago or when we wrote, you know, so actually which bits are we ready to shed? So in terms of themes, like maybe I'm leaning more towards actually like the female economy and all the specific things that happen at different seasons of women's lives that mean that sometimes self-promoting or promote, you know, selling their stuff or speaking up versus staying quiet. Yeah, that really is a topic that I could just talk about all day. So, you know, I maybe haven't talked about it as much because I've been talking about other things, and I might give a bit more space to that moving forward. It's not a different theme. It's still the same theme. Women and money, very important. I do think we need to have plenty of it. I think we need our own autonomy with it. I think we need to stop telling ourselves we're bad at it or with it. It's not true. But, you know, where before I was thinking much more about like the whole creative economy and like the small businesses as a whole, I really, you know, probably am niching a bit more towards the particular nuances that go on with, you know, with and for women in business. And, you know, that's just going to be for now. Let's see. I think it's nice to keep things lithe and follow where your energy is going. And that's where my energy is going right now.
Yeah. I also think though on the themes front, what you, when you were saying about that, when you went into the writing of the book process, that perhaps you wish you'd had your themes maybe slightly more defined. Because what I try and say to people is that, what do you want the book to do for you? Like, what do you want this book to achieve for you personally, but also for your business? There's no point writing something that is going to bring the wrong people in or that isn't speaking to the challenges perhaps that your ideal reader is facing. So I know that perhaps with the theme aspect, I was just thinking, you know, when you went into writing it, I think the more you've sort of had, the more experienced you are as a business owner, the more you sort of start to realize what your values are as a business owner, like what you want to be talking about, what you want to be known for. And for some people, writing the book gives them that clarity because they've had to really condense everything down into, you know, how many pages. But for other people, I've had other clients where they've been like, actually, I thought this was something that I really had a strong opinion on, but actually it's now become something else. So I think with the themes thing, it's like almost what to kind of bring it right back to, what do you want the book to do for your reader, but for your business, but also like, what are the things that you value? What do you believe? Like you said, the context piece, like what is the context of you writing this book? And it's so important when you are thinking of writing. That's why publishers always ask, like, why this book? Why now? Because they want that context. They want something to be able to, I guess, when they're selling it, to be able to set reference as a context piece so people know why to buy it. So that's kind of where I was going with, I suppose, with the themes thing is, you know, even though maybe they weren't as defined then, do you still feel like that you kind of in, when you went into writing it, you had them sort of swirling about? Would that be an expression to use?
Yeah. In my business, before there was a book, for sure, those were the themes that were swirling about. So then, you know, it felt natural to bring them into the book itself. I think I was much more focused in the book writing process on helping everyone reading the book feel confident and to be able to speed up their sort of sales process and have more ease with it. Whereas, you know, those things are still absolutely true. But I think there's just another layer onto the, you know, onto the proceedings now where it's like, you know, this book can help any kind of business owner make more sales. But the people who are really, you know, who are really wanting to support the most are the people who are from marginalized groups and, you know, who have additional layers or that are kind of lumped on them around that contribute to why it feels so difficult in the first place to show up and do the thing that is actually very easy once you've shed all those layers. And I think just to come back to your point there about publishers and why it's so important to have themes, even outside of, you know, the book itself, it really, if we think, you know, if one of the reasons why anyone's writing a book is to have more opportunities come their way, whether consciously or not, or whether they are thinking, oh, it'd be great to be seen as, you know, a real, I don't know, thought leader in my industry, or to be speaking more, you know, generally about women in business or whatever the thing is, those themes are the things that are really going to get you invited onto podcasts and onto stages and onto panels and into conversations and writing articles and having a bit of a voice. So actually it starts with a written word and a theme, but it ends with all the different kind of ways that you can have your voice be heard if you want it to. So it is actually so much more than, oh, it's just nice to have some themes and you can talk about them, publishers will love it. It's actually much more about, like you say, the foundations under, you know, on which your business are built. And I think if we think about future proofing and the fact that we are always kind of in motion and evolving, we need those themes in order to, I guess, maintain the momentum, because there's only so much, if I'm completely honest, there's only so much I can talk about selling and marketing and promoting myself, and I'm sure there's only so much you can talk about book writing without bringing additional, you know, bigger conversations to the party. So it's like, of course it is about helping women sell themselves, like sell and promote, you know, what they're doing and their ideas and their creativity and being financially rewarded for that and not staying quiet. But why do I care about that so much? Because what's the alternative? If we don't do that, or if we're not writing these books and we're not, you know, making it onto the bookshelves, who is? Who is the dominant voice that is? How are we creating any change if we are not speaking up or writing up or whatever you want to call it? So I think really, certainly as I get older, that becomes much more of a fire in my belly than maybe it was when I was like 20.
Yeah. The why is so, yeah. I mean, that's the thing that gets people to feel like they're part of something, right? It's the why. And if you can create that in your messaging, but in your book and whatever way, I think people are attracted to that sort of idea of a group of people who all have similar things that they strongly believe in. And for some people, actually, it's useful because it actively repels other people who are like, actually, you know, this isn't kind of my vibe. And that's fine too. So, yeah,
I think establishing that. That's great too, because it's like, help me work out, are you for me or not? If all we're all doing is hiding behind our skill sets, we are not differentiable at all on anything other than our pricing or the way, you know, our fancy Canva graphics or whatever happen on social media, or like, you know, just the algorithm, I guess, then. So if you want to really hack the algorithm, form your opinions and share them on the internet and back yourself enough to actually like bring them forward. Because what then happens is we are connecting on a very real human level rather than a sort of, oh God, everyone's saying this. Okay, I guess I better take some action then. You'll do. I don't want anyone coming into my world on you'll do energy. Not really. I'd much rather like, oh my goodness, I really love the way you talked about that. That really landed with me. I felt so sick. I'd much rather that. I'm like, okay, go on then.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Can you imagine there'd be nothing worse than somebody saying, well, someone said I had to check you out. Oh, God.
Yeah. That's awful, isn't it?
Yeah. No, absolutely. The wrong energy completely. Right. Okay. Well, I mean, we have covered so much today, and I just want to say thank you for your time and for your thoughts on the things we've discussed. I always end, and I don't know if you remember from last time, asking, if you had a piece of advice for an aspiring writer. But obviously, you answered that last time, but I wonder whether there's just something you could speak to kind of give somebody who's perhaps been on the cusp of writing. Maybe they've started and they keep thinking, oh, I'll come back to it. Like something that's going to give them that little nudge to just take the leap and to write the thing.
Look, only good things happen when you get this thing done. In my experience, like there are so many people who are like, oh, I'd like to do that one day. Oh, I could never. I haven't got time. Or I'll just wait until things quieten down a bit. And I just feel like that day is never coming. I just don't think that day is coming. But what I will say is, for sure, if I had had more visibility over how much good stuff was going to happen and how much I was going to feel more kind of, I guess, brave as a result of having a book in my hand. I mean, how bizarre is that? But anyway, I would have done it so much sooner. So my little nudge would be just, as Steph is always saying, like 30 minutes is all you need. Whether you're a 30 minutes a day person or a bit more like me, just pedal to the metal for a shorter window of time and just get it done. Just get it done, because there is absolutely no end to the good stuff that happens off the back.
Very good. Very good. And you did that very concisely. So I thank you for that.
There's nobody about me ever.
Again, thank you. And I will link to you and the book in the show notes. If you are a listener and you haven't read it yet, I strongly urge you to, because it is a marvellous book. And thank you for your time today, Sarah.
Thanks so much for having me. I'll see you next time. Third time.
Third time's a charm.
Third time. Yeah, exactly. Bye.
Bye. Well, thank you for listening to that conversation with Sarah. I think it's such a great example of how a book is never a one and done thing. It can give you years of new leads and clients, as well as content. I particularly enjoyed the part where we discussed how writing a book can really help clients get to know, like, and trust you far quicker than snippets on social media ever could. It's just about shortening the time between them coming into your audience and then buying from you. Thanks again to Sarah for giving up her time. The links to her book and her Instagram are in the show notes. And if you got something useful from this episode, I'd love it if you subscribed, left a review, or shared it with someone who might find it helpful too. But until next time, happy writing.